As we continue with our service, we go to the Word of God now, and the first passage that I would like to look at is Psalm 22, 1 to 5. Psalm 22, 1 to 5, which contains words that Jesus used while he was on Calvary's cross. This is what he said. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and I am not silent. Yet you are enthroned in as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. So the Old Testament anticipated the crucifixion of Jesus. And then we turn to the New Testament, the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter. It's on page 1543 in your pew Bibles, the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I will read this through the 30th verse. While they were eating, this is the Last Supper in the upper room that we're talking about. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day I drink it with you, anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the criticisms that I have heard of the Christian Reformed Church, one which, when I heard it, I said, there's a lot to it, is the fact that it's possible for people to be part of a church like this and rest mainly in their legal relationship to the church. That's not only true of a church like the one in which we're met just now, but a church that has certain rules, regulations, confessions, and all of that. And it's possible for a person to look at himself, herself, and say, I must be okay because I believe all that. I believe what's in those confessions that are part of the church's life. The Apostles' Creed, for example, which we very likely will be using this morning as we get into the Lord's Supper. Now, it's important to believe all these things, of course. If a person doesn't believe the truths that have been put down over the years in the Scripture itself and then reflected in the confessions of the church, that person is in serious spiritual trouble. But thanks be to God, that's not all there is to being a Christian. There's also that which we're thinking about this morning, and we'll think about again tonight, by the way, in a little different context. But that's the mystical side of being a Christian. The mystical side. Now, we don't use those ideas and that idea very much. We don't think about it very much. But something is mystical when you know it's there, but you can't explain it. You just know it. Some of these things are just very common things, and I just take this as an illustration, and it's almost unworthy to be used in this context. But sometime when you've lived in an area for a long time, in the same house for a long time, you go into a certain room. All of a sudden, something comes back to you. The whole thing. Or in your neighborhood, you come to a certain corner, and all of a sudden, it all comes back to you. Something had happened there. It could have been unpleasant. It could have been very, very pleasant, whatever the case may be. But say, how do I explain this? I mean, is there something wrong with me? Every time I come in that room, I think of that. It's mystical. Very common, very ordinary. But thanks be to God. Praise the Lord. There's also a mystical side to Christianity. And that's related to the fact that once you believe the things that God brings before you in His holy word, you believe that Jesus actually did rise from the dead. You believe that He shed His blood to pay for sin, and that we can have a baptism like this morning, and we can remember that. But the mystical side of it is that you can have an experience of connection with God. He's there. He's in your life. He helps you make decisions. He makes you sad when you should be sad because of the way you've fallen possibly in your own life. And He fills you with joy that you can't explain. How can it be that a person can be courageous in the face of danger? At some time when we talk to people with life-threatening illnesses and with a brevity of life that's very, very clear to them and clear to everyone else, they can have a smile on their face because they know that their life isn't going to end at all. In fact, when they draw their last breath, it will be an adventure that no human words can describe. These are things that you cannot explain even with theology. Theology is very important. I've got one theological book on my shelf. It really takes two hands to lift it off. It's this thick. I happen to know the author. I saw him grow up before my eyes, and he really grew up because when I bought his book, I had to take lessons so I could lift it and move it around the house. It's filled with theology, lots of good things in it. I read it every once in a while because I need the kinds of things that he's put together, but that's theology. That's a book. And there it is on the page. But at the center of Christianity, there is, my brothers and sisters, please listen to me now. This is a very simple ceremony, this baptism of these young children. But dear parents, all of you who are members of their family, I hope we all understand that the thing about baptism is that it is a sign that Jesus lives in a person's life. I noticed this just this morning as I was reading the form. I hadn't really noticed it before. The thing that a pastor is supposed to say, I baptize you into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But the form, when it describes it, it says, we are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a big difference between being baptized in the name and being baptized into the name. And it is that correction, so to speak, that we find the actual statement that the pastor is supposed to say when he baptizes the child, I baptize you into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that means that these children are joined to God. Joined to God. And so it's not just that some water has touched their forehead and their head and those words were spoken, but this is the beauty of the Christian faith. This is why the Bible says that the children of believers are holy. This is why once God gives us children, we need to be willing to sacrifice anything and everything for our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, so that they can experience the wonder of God's presence in their lives, the reality of it. And so it's stirring again this morning to go to communion. This is a wonderful morning. Two sacraments that relate to the mystical side of Christianity. And here Jesus speaks to us this morning, and he says this. While they were eating, he says, this is my body. Take it and eat it. This is my blood of the covenant. Drink it. Drink it. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. And believe that you are connected with me on a level that cannot be described in ordinary terminology, ordinary language. I'm going to put in just a little parenthesis here that I hadn't thought about before, but I want to do it because I'm thinking of the fact that I think this has a bearing on whether or not Christians choose cremation. Why do I bring that up? Because the body, the human body, is so important that Jesus, at the time that he established communion, said, you eat this because this is my blood, this is my body, and you're going to put it in your body and mix it with your blood. But you say, that's just bread, that's nothing. And we'll leave that other subject just now. I don't want to get into that particularly, but it has something to say about the wonder of the human body, because our bodies are going to be raised from the dead. And you would say to God, why bother? By the time our bodies have been in the grave for so many years or whatever, or by the time our airplane exploded and we fell into the ocean, and what happened? But the Bible says, I believe. Enables us to say, I believe in the resurrection of the body. And I believe that that gives us reason to think about the body, our own bodies, with great, great care. Because God sent his Son to a cross where he sent him to hell so that we wouldn't have to go there. And he gave us a sacrament. And he said, now eat this bread and drink this fruit of the vine and believe that your body is united with the body of Jesus. Now, I hope you're all still awake, because I'm going to read something here that's a little bit long. And if you want to follow along with it, you may, because I think it's so wonderful. It's on page 87 at the back of the Psalter hymnal in our Confession of Faith. It's about the Holy Supper of God. Holy Supper of God. And it's about the mystical side that we're talking about. And the beauty of the mystical side of Christianity is that you can't explain it with human words, but you can't even visualize it with your minds. It just transcends everything you are and everything you try to think about, but it's true. This is the Confession of Faith. Sometimes we call it the Belgic Confession. It's so wonderful. Page 87. You see that paragraph that begins there in the second column, in order? In order? You all see that? In order that he, that is Christ, might represent unto us this spiritual and heavenly bread. Christ has instituted an earthly and visible bread as a sacrament of his body, and wine as a sacrament of his blood, to testify by them unto us that as certainly as we receive and hold this sacrament in our hands and eat and drink the same with our mouths, by which our life is afterwards nourished, we also do as certainly, now notice that, we also do as certainly receive by faith. Look at what faith is. Faith, which is the hand and the mouth of our soul, the true body and blood of Christ, our only Savior in our souls for the support of our spiritual lives. Now, as it is certain and beyond all doubt that Jesus Christ has not enjoined to us the use of his sacraments in vain, so he works in us all that he represents to us by these holy signs, though the manner surpasses our understanding and cannot be comprehended by us, as the operation of the Holy Spirit are hidden and incomprehensible. Now there it says it very clearly right at the bottom of that page. Though the manner surpasses our understanding and cannot be comprehended by us. We're talking about this morning, we're talking about something that cannot be understood by the human mind. It can't even be described in human words. But when God saves a person through the blood of Jesus and sends the Holy Spirit into his life, he brings changes about that are real. We call that the mystical union. The Holy Spirit lives in these people. Beginning again on top of page 88. In the meantime, we err not when we say that what is eaten and drunk by us is the proper and natural body and proper blood of Christ. But the manner of our partaking of the same is not by the mouth, but by the Spirit through faith. Now listen to this. Thus then, though Christ always sits at the right hand of his Father in heaven, yet does he not therefore cease to make us partakers of himself by faith. This feast is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates himself with all his benefits to us and gives us there to enjoy both himself and the merits of his sufferings and death, nourishing, strengthening, and comforting our poor, comfortless souls by the eating of his flesh, quickening and refreshing them by the drinking of his blood. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, as simple as ordinary and as common because we're used to it. This table is. By faith, we say, this is something that is sui generis. There may be one or two of you who know what that means, and I'm not trying to brag by using those words, but it means sui generis means there. This is something which is in a class by itself. It's totally different from anything else in the universe. It is a sacrament. And Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, uses the sacrament to unite us with himself. With himself. And so Jesus says that, this is my body. This is my blood. Eat it, drink it. A Christian is changed by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's a different kind of a person that he would be, she would be, if she didn't have this great sacrament in his or her life. If I may be personal for just a minute, this is one of the reasons I've stayed with the Christian Reformed Church for so many years, or the Reformed community for so many years, because of this Belgian Confession, Article 35. You know, there's a lot of wonderful Christians whom I respect who have very improper views of the sacrament. I respect many things about Roman Catholicism, but I can't go with them when they say the bread is changed into the body of Jesus, and the blood is changed into the blood of Jesus. Same thing with the Eastern Orthodox that we work with in Ukraine. Many things about them I respect, but their teachings on the sacraments changing into another substance. Can't follow them there. And for all you good Lutherans here this morning, I want to apologize even before I say this, but I want to say it because I think we want to know how the Reformed faith differs. And Lutherans, we're very close to Lutherans. Of course we are. But the view of the sacrament, that when you partake of the sacrament, the body of Jesus is in, with, and under the substance which you receive. The substance, the bread, the wine, they become the vehicle whereby that mystical body of Jesus gets transferred into your life. But this old Belgian confession, written by Widow de Bray, who became a martyr. And as I recall, they threw his own body over the fence around the prison in which he was held. But he said, look, it's clear from the Bible that when we partake of these things Jesus gave us, we partake of Jesus. But there's no theory to explain it. No theory, no theology to explain it. We simply know that Jesus hands us the bread and says, this is my body, and gives us the fruit of the vine, this is my blood. And as this old saint says, here in the Belgian Confession, he says, there's no human instrument that we can use to understand this. We only know that it happened.
hearts as we are mystically united with Jesus Christ.
So, my brothers and sisters, this is the wonder of the Lord's Supper. This is the wonder of the sacrament. This is the wonder of the call to confession and call to come to Jesus. If there's anybody here who's never really surrendered to Jesus, surrender to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Let Jesus be the one who gives you his word indeed, but also gives you himself and gives you his Holy Spirit and enables you to do a better job than you usually do in fighting against sin and all the ugliness that can come into our lives. So it's a wonderful day here at our church. I want to speak about it again tonight, this mystical union, but just now let's turn to the form for the Lord's Supper that we're going to use as we prepare to go to it, the formulary, which is on page 156. 156, at the back of this altar hymnals. Formulary. Beloved in the Lord, hear the words of the Apostle Paul concerning the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner, after supper, the cup after supper, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink the cup, ye proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh judgment unto himself, if he discern not the body." Let's also hear this brief instruction concerning the purpose for which the sacrament was ordained. When our Lord said, "This do in remembrance of me," he ordained the Holy Supper is a constant memorial and visible proclamation of his death. The Apostle Paul also teaches us that as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death. As we partake of the communion supper, therefore, we bear witness that our Lord Jesus was sent by the Father into the world, that he took upon himself our flesh and blood, and that he bore the wrath of God on the cross for us. We also confess that he came to earth to bring us to heaven, that he was condemned to die, that we might be pardoned, and that he endured the suffering and death of the cross, that we might live through him, and that he was once forsaken by God, that we might forever be accepted by him. The sacrament thus confirms us in God's abiding love and covenant faithfulness. And by this holy supper, our Lord seals to our hearts the promises of God's gracious covenant, and he assures that we belong to his covenant family. Let us then be persuaded as we eat and drink that God will always love us and accept us as his children for the sake of his Son. Our Lord promises, moreover, that as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are fed with his crucified body. Now listen to this. This is the same idea again. The Lord promises, moreover, that as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are fed with his crucified body and shed blood. To this end, he gives his life-giving spirit, through whom the body and the blood of our Lord become the life-giving nourishment of our souls. Thus, he unites us with himself, and so he imparts the precious benefits of his sacrifice to all who partake in faith. The Holy Sacrament is also a means of grace that unites us with one another in the bond of the Spirit. For the Apostle says that we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one sacrament. Thus, even as he unites us with himself, He strengthens the bond of communion between us, his children. Finally, the remembrance of our Lord's death revives in us the hope of his return. Since he commanded us to do this, until he comes, the Lord assures us that he will come again to take us to himself. Hence, as we commune with him now, under the veil of these earthly elements, we are assured that we will sometime behold him face to face and rejoice in the glory of his appearing. Our Lord Jesus will surely do what he has promised. Let's draw near his table then, believing that he will strengthen us in faith, unite us in love, and establish us more firmly in the hope of his coming. Now unto him that loveth us and loosed us from our sins by his blood, and he made us to be a kingdom, to be priests unto God his Father, unto his God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Let's pray. Almighty God, with one accord we give thee thanks for all the blessings of thy grace, but most of all, we thank thee for the unspeakable gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We most humbly thank thee that thy Son came to us in human form, that he lived a perfect life on earth, that he died for us on the cross, and that he arose victoriously from the dead. We bless thee for the gift of thy Holy Spirit, for the gospel of reconciliation, for the church universal, for the ministry and the sacraments of the church, and for the blessed hope of everlasting life. We beseech thee, gracious Father, to grant us thy Holy Spirit, that through this sacrament our souls may truly be fed with the crucified body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us the full assurance of thy grace as we draw near to thy holy table, filling our hearts with humble gratitude for thy mercies. Unite us more and more fully with our blessed Lord, and so also with one another. Enable us in newness of life to pledge ourselves in service to Christ and all thy children, and lift our hearts to thee, that in all the troubles and sorrows of this life, we may persevere in the living hope of the coming of our Savior in glory. Answer us, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as we continue with this, I'd like to ask you, if you will please, those of you, we're kind of spread out, could we all sort of come forward now? Can you take a moment? Am I asking too much of you? Some of you are already close enough, but we've got some chairs here. Let's come together as we're going to be partaking of the Lord's Supper. So please do come forward if you don't mind. And if you do mind, stay where you are. But please, we'd like to be together when we're having this supper of our God.